Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As always, my name is Zachary Smith. I'm your host for this wonderful show that we get to do together each week. Now, last week, I got a little bit upset, not at you. I would never be upset at you. You're great. I was upset at the main event of the show. Now, hopefully, we don't have another one of those in store for us. Now, you'll notice I didn't say whether it was good or a bad NXT show because, well, for the first time doing this podcast, I haven't seen the show yet. This is the NXT Podcast. Zach is rushed for time and doesn't have time to take notes and watch the whole show to record right after version. I can work on the name. That's a little bit long, but I see a lot of potential in it. So, here's what we're going to do. You and me are going to watch the Hulu version of NXT that from the 12th, which was yesterday, if you're listening to this when it comes out. I'm going to watch it straight through. It's about 59 minutes, 58 seconds to be exact, and we're just going to talk about what we see. And number one, this gives me an opportunity to get the episode out to you, but number two, it will kind of be something different and new, and we'll see how everybody feels about it. So, if you want to go ahead and pause this in just a second, what you're going to do is you're going to pull up Hulu and you're going to pull up NXT and you're going to let it load up and pause at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. You should be seeing part of the WWE kind of entrance or starting graphic right now. Hogan is lifting Andre for the first time in the history of wrestling that ever happened. Shut up, nerds. Yes, it is. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say in just a minute, 3, 2, 1, play. And on the word play, you and I are going to hit play. And we are going to watch the show together. It's going to be like we're best friends. And to be clear, we are best friends. But it's like going to be best friends watching wrestling together. Now, if you don't have access to the show right now and you just want to listen to the podcast, no problem. I'm going to be talking about everything that I see, and it's going to be very close to an actual podcast, how we usually do it. So, you shouldn't be missing anything. So, before we get started, I do just again want to thank you for listening and remind you that you can find me on Twitter. I am ZachNXT, that's ZachNXT. Hit me up over there for all of your wrestling smarmy knees. I'm usually just funny, but, you know, gotta fulfill the wrestling ideology every once in a while. Now, let's get started. 3, 2, 1, play. WWE forever. Last week. Yeah, see, I knew we were going to... Okay, so we have the recap of the Undisputed Era taking on Imperium for Imperium's tag titles, despite the fact that Undisputed Era did nothing but lose, and that's what their storyline was. And immediately we're cutting away from the match to focus just on Adam Cole and Pat McAfee. Here's the thing. I got upset about this last week. I'm not upset with Pat McAfee being involved. I love Pat McAfee. I think he is hilarious, and I think he is genuinely a great commentator for wrestling, for football, for whatever. I think he could be great for wrestling. I have a problem with the fact that what should have been a great tag team match was relegated to nothing because they wanted to set up this stupid angle that they wanted to make look like a shoot. And we're about to see Adam Cole is calling him an itty-bitty short little B-word, and then that makes Adam Cole so mad that he's laid out on the table, and Pat McAfee punts him. As you know, Pat McAfee was a all-pro and Pro Bowl punter for the Indianapolis Colts, so he's, I imagine, got quite a kick that was set up exactly like a punt. And we're cutting over to Keith Lee. Having beaten Cameron Grimes last week when these stupid freaking these lights go off and we just are gonna, this is what we're doing, I guess. And Karrion Kross, once again, just kind of doing his thing, man. Just not being super interesting or anything. And a bunch of fire, and him with Scarlet, and him supposed to be scary, but he's not scary because he's a scared boy. We kick off tonight's edition of NXT with the first couple of Carnage. That's an interesting way to refer to Scarlet and Karrion Kross, but all right. I mean, I will give them that Karrion Kross's entrance with Scarlet is fantastic. It's my favorite part of the presentation. As you know, I haven't been a big Karrion Kross fan, not the person. And I do just want to be clear, when I disparage something a wrestler is doing or a wrestler, I'm generally disparaging the character they are playing and the way that it is being used more specifically. So when I say I do not like Karrion Kross, I like the man who is Karrion Kross, and I think that he is a monumentally talented individual that you could make a lot of money with. I think that the character they're going with and the way they're using him and the way he's coming across is not doing him any favors, and it is not endearing me to him. It's doing quite the opposite. So that's what I mean when I say things like that don't work. It was the same thing with Charlotte Flair. I don't dislike Charlotte Flair as a person. I dislike that Charlotte Flair was used to come into NXT, steamroll over, and then not lose the title. She was the person who wasn't pinned or submitted in a triple threat match. That just doesn't do anything for anybody. So, we're in the middle of our Karrion Kross entrance. It is very intense. I like the smoke. Scarlet really adds so much to this presentation. And I don't mean like just because she's a physically attractive woman. I mean that she brings a different kind of intensity with her, and I think it matches very, very well with Karrion Kross. As I take a sip of apple juice for the working man, Stone Cold would be proud. Next up, we have Danny Burch, one half of Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, who usually team together. Danny Burch is a lot like Oney Lorcan. He's a straight-ahead butt kicker, and you're usually going to get a good... It reminds me of a kind of a British style, just hard-hitting, you believe everything. And Danny Burch starts with just a running drop kick as soon as bell rings and starts hitting Kross in the corner. Kross throws Burch into the corner, but Burch reverses and is almost stomping a mud hole in Kross. Yep. Just punches and punches by Danny Burch and actually clotheslines Karrion Kross over the top rope before Karrion Kross pulls Danny Burch out of the ring. They've been having Karrion Kross be affected by moves more and more, or at least he's been caught in more compromising positions, which I think is important. You can have a monster that still has vulnerabilities. That's going to work. As Karrion Kross lifts Danny Burch by the throat and slams him down on the mat, that has to hurt so much. It's one of those things that it looks like it hurts, but I bet it hurts 10 times worse than it looks like it hurts. But ref is up to an 8 count before they're both back in the ring. Different camera angles here, kind of a low angle and then kind of a high angle over the turnbuckle, so this match kind of looks different already. I just noticed, and I like it a lot. Danny Burch just slapped Karrion Kross, which is inadvisable, and Karrion Kross with a belly-to-belly suplex, taking him to Suplex City, and as soon as I said it, I heard Mauro say it in my earphones here, so Mauro and I, same level of announcing, so, you know, that's great. Danny Burch is a great seller, because he sells moves really well, but he sells them like a guy who's in a bar fight, who doesn't want to admit that it hurt. And that's really interesting because most guys just either act like they're dead or don't sell enough to make things believable. And Danny Burch makes you believe that you are just in a fight that broke out somewhere and now it's on and this is what we're doing. Pardon me. Karrion Kross's intense face doesn't look intense to me. I don't know if that's just me. And I don't mean to hate on Karrion Kross. Again, there's a lot of positive qualities with this guy. I think he just needs more work. And I'm concerned that Vince is going to take one look at him when he decides to watch, as Danny Burch gets a two count here and locks in a cross face, that Vince is going to see him and just want him on the main roster immediately. And I don't think that this is going to work long term. Karrion Kross tries to get out of the cross face, but Danny Burch still has him in it. But Karrion Kross is making his I'm real mean face as he's starting to power out of that move. Karrion Kross's tattoos really add to his whole thing, too. It kind of reminds me of Aleister Black. Aleister Black's tattoos are even better to me. I saw him at a live show that my wife was nice enough to take me to, and he was still Tommy End at the time. I don't even think he had the entrance music, and his tattoos are the first thing I noticed, and it made an immediate impression on me, as we have a back suplex by Mr. Kross here. He's a really good suplexer. I will absolutely give him that. I like that in the ring, Karrion Kross likes to throw guys around. It sets him apart a bit. He's not just a run, tackle, drop down, get it again, or just steamroll opponents. He physically dominates them and throws them around. Danny Burch goes for a desperation punch, and Karrion Kross just laughs it off as he drags Danny Burch up. And Karrion Kross looks like he has Danny Burch just in a sleeper hold here. Okay. Cross jacket. And Danny Burch, I don't know if I believe he passed out? I'm not sure. I want to say this is also one of these matches where it's just a setup for Keith Lee to come out. That would make sense to me, but yeah. Yeah, there it is. Bask in His Glory comes on, and our NXT champion, Keith Lee, is out here. He appears to have a contract in his hand. That's what I'm going to go with. It certainly looks like a contract. Gets right in the ring, and our big, undefeatable monster immediately clears the ring after a relatively easy match. If this were Cameron Grimes, I would understand that, but Karrion Kross is supposed to be a monster. He's supposed to be a killer. He's supposed to be intense. I do not understand why he would back down from Keith Lee right there. That doesn't make sense to me at all. Keith Lee says, I'm not surprised at all. He said, Kross, this isn't on me, it's on you. Because I offered for you to join me in this ring, or offered to earn your shot, but you denied it. Oh, just like the little B-word you are, you don't want to face me. So here's what I did. Oh, okay. He begged Regal. Said, I won't put my hands on you until TakeOver if you give me the match. Says Regal's name is on this, my name is on this, all it needs is your Punk A name on it. Throws the contract down. Scarlett goes over to pick it up from the apron because Karrion Kross is too scared. And Scarlett does a lot with facial expressions without even talking. I think she does a really great job at it. And looks like she's reading it over. I love when managers actually, like, read over the contract. That's just a small little detail that a lot of people wouldn't do, but it really adds a lot to it. Looks like she's advising him to sign it. Karrion Kross held the pin in such a way that I can't immediately describe to you, but it's how nobody has ever held a pin and signed it. And Scarlett, again, walks the contract back over because Karrion Kross is a big scared boy. And she kisses the contract on the outside and slides it back into the ring as we get a close-up in case you weren't absolutely clear that it was a contract and a clipboard. And instead of Karrion Kross staring him down, we're now getting a close-up of Scarlett staring Keith Lee down. Because what you want to do is you want to set up the heat between the manager and the wrestler, not the two wrestlers. And listen, I don't mean to say that I don't like any parts of this. I think it's going to be a great match. And I think there are elements of this that have been a great setup. And I think his setup with Adam Cole, though short, I think was very good. But there are good things here. I just don't understand the way that they're presenting the character. And I am certainly willing to give it time. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Okay, so so what just happened here is Keith Lee opened the contract and a flash paper fireball came out of it because Scarlet is magic. He opened it to check it. It went off and he's selling it in the ring. A lot of refs with towels because that's how you deal with fire. Keith Lee seems more mad than anything. They are now draping a towel over a burn victim. That doesn't seem... I'm not a medical professional. I'd have to check with my wife, but I don't think that's how you deal with that. So is this... Was that a sleight of hand thing? Is she magic? What did we just do here? Now, once again, the NXT champion is down on one knee, clearly... or at least seems to be blinded, and Karrion Kross is not taking advantage of that opportunity as he's being helped out. I would think that you would want to hurt him. I don't understand what this is. It feels like, and there are a lot of smart people who work for creative in NXT, and I certainly by no means think that I know better than them. And I am willing to give it time, as I just said, but I just feel like this is not a compelling way to set up a match. It doesn't make me dislike Cross. It doesn't make me dislike Scarlett. It makes me feel like they're a parlor trick act that is just trying to sound tough and each week trying to get by looking tough without having to do anything tough. And I understand as a heel, he's a bad guy. I totally get it. But when you have a monster, I don't think that works. And I don't know. I could be completely in the minority on this. Again, Zach NXT, Z-A-C-H NXT on Twitter. Let me know if you think I'm completely crazy. I very well could be. You know, some stuff just hits you the wrong way as a wrestling fan. And I don't know. This just is. I see a bright future for Karrion Kross once they figure out what his character's going to be, and I think that Keith Lee is a future WWE and or Universal Champion and WrestleMania main eventer, sincerely. I would love to see Keith Lee and Big E right now, please. I'd love to see a rematch with Roman, but now we have a split screen with Drake Maverick coming out to the ring. Looks like he got some new gear, looking spiffy with black and white gear. All right. Drake Maverick looks like he's ready to go. We still have a split screen with Keith Lee with a towel draped over his head, you know, because burn victim, that's what you do. And he's still selling it while Drake is now in the ring getting ready for his opponent. And, of course, we see the riot scenes and so on and so forth. We see basically a monster truck coming through. And it is Mr. Killian Dane, who was a part of Sanity with Eric Young and Nikki Cross. And I feel like he was doing well in NXT, and then they brought Sanity up, did nothing with Sanity. Although, in fairness, they didn't do a ton with Sanity in NXT, and I didn't really think it was a gimmick that was going to have longevity just because it never felt like it went anywhere or developed a whole lot. It felt like a really cool concept. It felt like when you have a cool idea for a story, but then you don't really have follow through for that. And we're going to be doing a match with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick as the bell rings, and Drake Maverick is going to pass away. And keep in mind, as this match has started, we are still split-screened, and the split-screen just ended with Keith Lee. Drake Maverick's trying to figure out what to do here, certainly, and gets thrown into the ring post. So we're going for a, at least early on, Drake's punches can't hurt him, but He's getting out of the way. And, of course, now we've cut away again to the ambulance pulling away. And I see the Undisputed Era arriving. Because why would we focus on matches? Who cares about that? I don't know if Vince really is taking a more hands-on approach with NXT as Drake Maverick does a somersault front flip out of the ring onto Killian Dane. Bet that hurt. Both of them looked great. Makes sense. He's a smaller guy. Got to get him off his feet. But I don't understand. If Vince is taking a more active role in NXT, this makes a lot of sense. Because in the old NXT, you would not see things like this, where you are constantly cutting away from the wrestling. And I think that it has the potential to change NXT for the worse. And I certainly hope that that's not what happens. That's just, I love NXT. It's legitimately my favorite brand in all of wrestling. And I just want to see it dwell. And I think what they were doing was working. And I'm fine with implementing some more sports entertainment elements. But we'll see. And Undisputed Era is now in the ring attacking both men. So this is a disqualification. I think Drake Maverick got attacked first. So maybe he wins by DQ or maybe a no contest. They throw Drake Maverick out. And now all four members of the Undisputed Era are beating down on Killian Dane. Knee to the face. Super kick Drake Maverick as he was going to come back into the ring. The high low by Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Basically a kick and a leg sweep. And then the last shot, which is a running knee to the back of the head by Adam Cole. So Adam Cole would like a microphone now, which is always good. Immediately says, "Hey, Pat McAfee. Pat, I know for a fact you're watching." He said, "Do me a favor and shut your stupid mouth and listen to me, to somebody who is not here." He said, "You want to come in my world and play wrestler? Run your mouth on Twitter, on ESPN, that's fine. Don't you forget, you kicked me with my arms behind my back. You are not special. What's special is I'm the longest reigning NXT champion of all time. I could do that without waiting for it. You're stepping into the ring with that guy. So, Pat, I want you to do me a favor. I dare you. Ooh, I dare you. I dare you. Dare you to show up next week. And if you do, if you got the guts, once you walk down that ramp right here, through these ropes, in this ring, so I can look you in the eye, man to man, and I'm going to whoop that A word at TakeOver 30. Okay, so the match is official. Huh. I wonder, you're going to realize you're in way over your head. Got it. I wonder if Pat has secretly been training in the Performance Center, because that's, if he hasn't, that's really fast for somebody to have their first match. I mean, Adam Cole could have a match with a broom handle, not even the whole room, and he would have a great match. But it would, I wonder if Pat has been training, and if he has, for how long. That's interesting. I don't know. Getting a promo for Kushida here. Talking about the triple threat match next week with Cameron Grimes. And then there's going to be a mystery opponent. He says, whoever it is, Kushida will still survive. And at the Dream Stage, NXT TakeOver, I will win the ladder match. And I will seize glory and win the North American title. So apparently Cameron Grimes, Kushida, and a mystery opponent. Which is interesting, because that immediately makes me think that it's going to be somebody we haven't seen before. I would love to see Isaiah Swerve Scott in that, but I don't think so. And we're cutting to Dakota Kai. Everyone's placed Io Shirai on this unattainable place. She's untouchable. All right, and we're getting shots of Io Shirai, who is one of the most champion-y champions in WWE right now. By that I mean she feels like a champion, and she performs every night like a champion, which is excellent. AJ Styles does that. Drew McIntyre does that. The Street Profits do that when they're not doing stupid angles, or Montez Ford was poisoned. But, you know, whatever. But Io Shirai is great at putting over talent. And again, I've said this a lot, but you don't necessarily need to lose to somebody to put them over. You just need to make them look like you're equal, as we get shots of Dakota Kai pinning Rhea Ripley to become the number one contender. I was surprised and not surprised by that, as you heard me talk about, just because if Rhea won, you're in an awkward position where you don't really want either of them to lose. I think the next time Rhea goes for the NXT women's title, she should win. And we're just reiterating that Io Shirai will defend the NXT women's title against Dakota Kai at TakeOver 30. And I've said this about all of Io Shirai's matches. This is going to be a great match. I do not think Dakota Kai is going to win, but I could certainly be wrong, but don't think I am. I don't think it's time. Promo for Ridge Holland, who did great in his triple threat match with Damian Priest and Oney Lorcan. His second chance match against Johnny Gargano. Okay. Says he wouldn't last a minute on his rugby field. I mean, but you don't play rugby anymore, do you, bud? Oh, in the ring we have Indy Hartwell. She gets the enhancement talent entrance, which is when it just cuts to you in the ring with music playing and you don't get an entrance. That generally means you're there to put over or allow somebody to beat you. Mia Yim is in the back. They asked for a status update on Keith Lee. She says that she just got back from the hospital in time to change into her gear, said that he's going to be fine, but she needs to focus on her match. That's an interesting wrinkle. I kind of like that. It makes sense that Mia Yim, who is with Keith Lee in real life, and they have a wonderful relationship, just seeing it kind of unfold on the show and in on Twitter. They're both very supportive of each other, and you know, you just love to see that. It makes sense that she would rush to the hospital, and then he would immediately say, "No, you have a match. Go kill it. I'll be fine." I like that. Plus, presumably Mia Yim's going to be a little bit mad right now. So maybe, I wonder if we're going to do a thing where she's too distracted, or if it's a situation where she's going to be real, real mad and beat this poor lady very badly, as we get a supercard ad and I take a sip of apple juice for the working man. Guys, it's available on iOS and Android. So, you know, just if you want to do that. Certainly a fun game to play. I never mastered it myself, but seems really fun. As the bell rings, and this is one of those matches where I would assume it's to kind of start a bit of a reset on Mia Yim and get her a win. She hasn't had one, or at least a significant one, in quite a while. I do not remember the last one. But, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Standard headlock and then tackle by Indy, and both running the ropes, and Mia Yim ducks around and takes down one of her legs, rebounds off the ropes, and drop kicks her in the face, which can't feel good. Kicks her in the face in the corner, kind of a haluva kick kind of deal. But Sami Zayn doesn't exist to this company, because how dare he not show up for work? So, you know, hits the Kevin Owens cannonball, does Mia Yim. And she's going for the pin, only gets a one count, or maybe a two count. Mia Yim's doing a good job of playing it as she's focused on the match, but when Indy is down, she's clearly thinking about Keith Lee and being worried about him, which of course she would be. And so when she does that, Indy Hartwell gets a momentary advantage that it looks like, as Mia Yim is hitting her with right hands, she immediately overcomes. So it's just kind of an interesting story if we're doing something with, you know, Keith Lee, and are we maybe doing something with Keith Lee and Karrion Kross and Mia Yim and Scarlett? Could be. I don't know. It seems like something she would want revenge on Scarlett for. So maybe that's certainly possible. But I don't know. Interesting. That qualifier with Kushida, Cameron Grimes, and the mystery opponent is actually tonight. I didn't realize it was tonight. So I'm interested to see who that is. I have all my fingers and toes crossed that it is Isaiah Swerve Scott, because he needs to be featured more on NXT, and not just in the cruiserweight division, where through no fault of the performers, it's treated as like a second-class division. And I don't think that's fair, because there's a lot of talented people there, but the way that it was set up, going on like after SmackDown and with a dead crowd, and it's not. Isaiah Swerve Scott has superstar written all over him. He is obviously amazing in the ring. For the promos I have heard him cut have been very good and very passionate. And I just think that he is North American title level, certainly. And I think he could be down the line NXT title material if we get fans back and they get behind him, or he's in a great storyline that gets him there. And he does a Swerve City pod, which you should check out. That's really good. He's also a rapper. He's actually a very good rapper. So that's something to look forward to, hopefully, as we're still going with this match that is it's taken too long. I'm gonna be honest with you. I appreciate the story they're telling. I sincerely do. I just wish there were a few less pages in this book. Mia Yim took Indy Hartwell down. She's punching her real hard, guys, because she mad. And so that's what you do when you're mad at somebody, is you take them down, punch them a bunch, and then drop kick them a couple times. So it feels like we might be ramping up towards the end, hopefully here. I don't know. We'll see. But hitting a suplex as well kind of seems like Mia Yim is totally taking control at this point, which is what you would expect. And I would almost think this match has gone on too long, just in terms of if Mia Yim is going to win, I feel like she should win. Yep, okay. So she kind of hits a modified arm bar. I'm sure I got that name wrong. And Indy Hartwell taps out. Pretty good match. Maybe a little too long, but I appreciate the story they told. And Mia Yim picks up a win, which is sincerely is a rare occurrence. So, I mean, that's always fun. So she's standing in the ring, and now she's kind of selling, thinking about Keith Lee again, now that the match is over here, as we see replays of a German suplex by Mia, and getting set up for the finish of this match. So it's interesting kind of to see what they do with Mia Yim after this. We already kind of did, you know, Candace and Johnny versus Mia and Keith, so I don't know if we want to go right back into a mixed tag situation. I'm confused about that. But I think Mia Yim's a very valuable performer for NXT. I think she's one of those people that's not going to be your top star, but could be really good. Oh, here's a Finn Balor promo. First, it was opportunities. Now it's second chances. That's my bad Irish accent. I can't really do it. Can't do it. I can either do an accent or I can't. Like I knew I could do Southern like really well if I needed to, or I could do like British if I like really needed to, you know, because like you could do it down here or you could do it up here. Which is nice. You could do like a New York, New Jersey thing, kind of your thing, whatever you want to do. All right, I've killed enough time. We're seeing Bronson Reed in the back preparing. Bronson Reed's an interesting character. We see Damian Priest back there, who's become more of an interesting character. So it's going to be Damian Priest versus Bronson Reed. They're both already in the ladder match. There's no implications there, but it's just an interesting way. And guys, what do you know? It's another recap of Adam Cole and Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee kicking Adam Cole in the head. So that's cool. August 22nd, NXT TakeOver 30. It's Pat McAfee versus Adam Cole. And I want to be clear, while I strongly dislike this story, I really hope Pat McAfee does well. He is an athlete, and he is an incredible entertainer, and I sincerely wish that he were a commentator on WWE television, because as I've said, every time he stepped in, he's done a great job, except for last week, because he wasn't there to be a commentator. He was there to set up a bad angle. Tweet from Pat McAfee up on the show, because this is a good old Twitter feud, ladies and gentlemen. So cool. Seems like Pat McAfee might be the heel in this. I'm a little confused. I'm not sure. All right. So looks like we have Damian Priest coming out here. Did they revamp his entrance a bit? He's like moving to different spots and there's a spotlight and he does his pull back the bow and Damian Priest. That might have been the same. I don't know. He's the Archer of Infamy. Wants his name to live forever. He's a face now. He's a good guy. So, you know, he's going about it in a different way. But hopefully, now that he's done with Cameron Grimes, hopefully, he can kind of move on and become a different character. I'm interested to kind of see what we do for that. I don't know. I don't feel like he's going to win that triple threat, or that ladder match, rather. He just doesn't feel like the right guy to me to win. I would have picked Dexter Lumis if he were still in the match, but unfortunately he's not. I don't mean to belabor the point, but I hope that Isaiah Swerve Scott gets in there and does it, because I think he could be really good, but I don't think it's going to be him. And now we have Bronson Reed coming out. Bronson Reed is a thick boy. That's what it says on part of his Titan trunks. He's a big dude. I believe he's from, was it Australia? He's a cool guy. He's a cool look. He's a cool kind of personality that he's getting more of a chance to show. And that's important. He looks more intense than he generally does. So that's always good when you are giving a guy a bigger stage and he's kind of stepping up to the plate. It's easy to see, you know, why you would like Bronson Reed. Seems like he might have some of that it factor. And it's one of those things where you didn't see it before because he wasn't doing a lot. And now that he's getting a chance to shine, you're seeing it. And that's the only way you're going to know is if you give somebody the ball and see how well they run with it. And I think that's fair. Give guys a chance, give women a chance, and put them in big situations. It doesn't have to be a one-on-one world title match. He's going to be in a 5 or 6 man ladder match for the NXT North American title, but that's still a huge spotlight for him. And I'm excited to see what he makes with this opportunity and where he goes from there. Damian Priest is just kind of, he was a consummate heel that was always involved in the title picture, but you never really knew why, and he didn't really need to be around it. He's a big guy. He's really good. His promos leave something to be desired, but I think that might be because he's not a natural face, but we'll see as he's wringing the arm of Bronson Reed here in the ring. But I don't know. We'll certainly see, because I am always a sucker for a man or a woman who is being given a chance. And again, that doesn't mean you have to main event WrestleMania. It just means that you're given a chance to be in important situations. And when you are put in those situations and you succeed, not maybe just winning the title, but when you are made to look good and you're put in there with somebody who can make you look good. For example, Dakota Kai turned heel and was red hot after she turned heel because of her real life friendship with Tegan Knox and turning on her and how vicious it was. That was fantastic. And then she kind of started to fizzle out. But now, not only is she getting a shot at the NXT Women's title, while she won't win it, I don't believe, that doesn't matter because Io Shirai is fantastic at making her opponents look good. And if you can go toe-to-toe with a champion and you just fall short, but in such a way that fans know if you go up against each other again, there's a chance that the champ will lose, I think that helps you. It elevates people's opinion of you. So it's just going to be interesting to see, and I'm interested to see who ends up filling out these ladder match spots, because who gets these spots is going to determine what different things you're going to do in the match, because Bronson Reed is your kind of power guy. Damian Priest is your is a big, tall dude, kind of like a Kane, where you wouldn't expect him in a ladder match necessarily, but he has a lot of power. It's an interesting mix so far. I think Dexter Lumis would have brought a lot to this match, just character-wise, but we'll see, and this could be a situation where, you know, maybe Dexter Lumis was supposed to win, and then he got taken out, and now we kind of have to rework our plans and see if we can get somebody else in there to kind of make some noise. They're kind of going blow for blow. A few punches by Bronson Reed. Kind of a high big boot by Damian Priest as he jumps at Bronson Reed in the corner. But Bronson catches him, walks him out to the middle. But then Damian Priest is going to try and suplex Bronson Reed. But that doesn't seem like it's going to work. And it didn't. He has him in a waist. Bronson Reed has him in a waist lock now, but he breaks out of it. But Bronson Reed DDTs him. It was a good looking DDT. And that was good psychology. Damian Priest was rolling out of the ring while Bronson Reed was trying to stop him, but Damian Priest is just on a knee. It doesn't make the DDT look weak. It makes Damian Priest look strong and crafty. Okay, Damian Priest going for a suplex again. Andy gets it, kind of turns it into a broken arrow. Yeah, he delivered the broken arrow, which is essentially a falcon arrow, but it didn't get the three count. So looks like Damian Priest going to try it again, but Bronson Reed turns it into his own big, big, big boy suplex. His thick plex, trademark Zachary Smith, 2020 NXT podcast. So if you say it, you owe me a dollar. So, pay up. They're both down in the ring, and I like the fans banging on that kind of plastic divider that's in front of them. It kind of adds to it, because them just clapping together doesn't always get across as much noise as I think they want it to. So, it's going to be... Some people really don't like it when people are banging on the hockey divider, but I love it. I think it adds a lot to it. Okay, Damian Priest kind of jumps off of the second rope, but Bronson Reed turns it into a power slam. That was great. Bronson Reed's going to the top rope, and he was supposed to miss, but he accidentally landed with his knees on Damian Priest. Look, maybe the back of the head and back. Priest was looking for the reckoning, but Bronson Reed reverses it, takes his legs out, flips over him, and kind of gets a surprise pin win. So Bronson Reed wins. I like these kind of finishes in setups like this, because Bronson Reed won, but Damian Priest kicked out right after the three. It was a surprise win, but it was very even going back and forth, so neither guy loses anything. I think that's important to set up finishes like that and to set up matches like that, because they're both in the ladder match, meaning technically going into the ladder match, Bronson Reed won, but they were very, very equal in the match itself, which you don't always see, and that can hurt, but this was a pretty good match between two big boys. Bronson Reed's mouthing that it's my time to Damian Priest. It could be. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put money on it. I don't know who I would put my money on it at this point. Io Shirai saying, when Dakota kicked me in the face. Message received. And that really was a vicious kick to the face by Dakota Kai. Io Shirai didn't see it coming. Dakota Kai's acting as if she's a big star, but until she betrayed Tegan Nox, no one even knew who Dakota Kai was. Man, oh man. That is hurtful, because it's a little true. And I love Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai is a manipulator, she says. She uses people and gets rid of them once they're done. Interesting. She says, when I see Dakota Kai, I could only see the cute girl who was terrified of Shayna Baszler. Ooh, good callback. Oh, and they're showing clips of Shayna, quote-unquote, breaking her arm. Just like Shayna Baszler, she says, after TakeOver, she will also be terrified of me. Dakota is no match for me. That's, my goodness. You don't gotta say it just because it's true. Oh, she said she just pissed me off. It was the only part that was in English toward the middle there. And I'm going to be real honest with you. We just cut to Cameron Grimes in the woods during the day, and he's cutting a promo, and I'm not listening. I now see shots of Kushida, so it's setting up that triple threat match, and I'm just not listening. It's not because I dislike him. It's not because I hate him. It's because I don't care about him. And again, when I say things like that, he is the man. Cameron Grimes is very talented. He's a good talker, but he's just in this generic gimmick who's only there to annoy you, not to do it for any specific reason, and it just never connects with me. Oh, and we're back with the Garganos at their home. Candace is playing with a cute dog. Johnny's setting up a ladder to... Okay, she's reading the dog a story. That's no doubt going to link to something that happened and they were betrayed. They do this thing where during these skits, they film it in normal color. And then when they turn kind of like the darker versions of themselves or the heel bad guy versions, the color changes. Before it was just black and white. Now it's kind of a purple hue for at least so far for Candice LeRae. And it kind of has a little bit of a time lapse where you kind of still see the after image. And originally, the first time I saw it, it was kind of unsettling, but now it's not. I don't know if we need something different or what we need to do, but it's, I don't know. Johnny's on top of the ladder. It's been a lot of change in NXT. That's the one constant. A lot of fresh faces. That thick boy guy. Hilarious. Very talented. Very hungry. One of them more than the other. guys,
do you get it? Bronson Reed's fat. Do you get it?
And we're doing the same time lapse thing. They're not on level with Johnny Gargano. I don't know. This did it for me in like the first and maybe second sketch I saw of them because it came off as genuinely creepy. Now it comes off as just kind of the same old stuff. And I love Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. I take nothing away from that. But I don't know if we need to ditch this or kind of come up with new ways of doing it. I thought we were maybe going to be doing a perfect couple that's really psychopaths, and it kind of comes across more and more and more, but it doesn't look like we're doing that. And I'm not one of those fans that if you don't do the idea I want, I think it's bad. I think that that's kind of a toxic trait to have, not only in a wrestling fan, but, you know, as a person. But I don't know, it just isn't working for me. As it turns out, Johnny was up there that whole time to fix a light bulb, so that's cool. Now they're going upstairs, they've turned the lights out. All right, and that's it. All right, so we're through there. Up next is Kushida, Cameron Grimes, and our mystery opponent. So let's see. I sincerely do not know who it is. I avoid spoilers even when I'm not doing it the show this way, which again is the first time. Please, ZACHNXT on Twitter, let me know what you think of this format. If you want to hear it more, if you want to hear me do it with different old pay-per-views, I'd be more than willing to. Thatcher's Thatch Can promo, or a vignette rather. He's going to demonstrate some more moves, I assume. Said 2 weeks ago I had the match won. Okay, so he's going on about that. And so he's going to stretch the guy. These are interesting. It gets across that particular part of his character. feels like we need more, you know, kind of going into having these every week or two. He's just going to stretch the guy while he or to stretch is to continually put on a submission even after somebody is tapped, or rather to intentionally hurt them. That's obviously not what he's doing. But he's demonstrating the move he had on Finn Balor that would have made Finn tap out, presumably. But Dexter Lumis choked him out. So, you know. Oh, Vic Joseph, not Tom Phillips, is the lonely man at the table this week. I like Vic Joseph. I want to say he was furloughed because WWE's having such huge financial problems. But he's back. Thank goodness they were able to find some money and pass the plate around. For more information on Keith Lee, visit WWE.com, as he had some crappy eye makeup around his eyes. This is Kushida. If you haven't seen a lot of him, his gimmick is basically kind of a cool Marty McFly from Back to the Future, including the jacket he wears, and the kind of entrance is very cool. It's very DeLorean. It's very kind of Marty McFly, Doc Brown. He's got the shades. He's got the kind of outfit down. But when he takes all that off, it's kind of a goofy gimmick, but when he takes all that down, he's legitimately an excellent wrestler. And people kind of forget that because you wouldn't assume that necessarily just looking at the way he's coming out. He looks like kind of a character gimmick, which is not always great. Well, it's generally not great in terms of in-ring and your potential going forward. But just as a wrestler, Kushida has damn near unlimited potential. So this is a critical moment for Kushida as he taps his watch and the lights go out except for the name on the top of the stage there, which is always very cool. So Kushida takes the glasses off and we have Cameron Grimes coming out, of course. And I'm just going to be silent because I got nothing else to add about that. All right, you twisted my arm. His background on his Titantron is like a wood fence, because that really kind of sums it up. Really, it's just kind of a wood fence. He looks at the North American title because, yeah, he's gonna win it. Yeah, he's talking to it, and I'm talking right now, so I don't have to listen just because it's boring. And so, I mean, he's always been an interesting wrestler and an interesting character, excuse me. But I don't know. I don't know if it's that he needs a new gimmick or if he needs to. I don't know. I think he's doing very well with what he's been given. I just don't know if what he's been given is very good. Not that it's bad, it's just not interesting, which sometimes can be worse. And again, this could just be me, and I think he's immensely talented and you could do a lot with him. They have. He's got wins over Finn Balor. He's got some pretty important moments. Okay, so there's a blue and yellow Titantron, and there's a heartbeat. Now there's some green coming in. It looks like a lava lamp. Digging that already. And lights go out. Oh no. NXT. It's the Velveteen Dream. Oh no. I almost wish I knew about this. Doing this is live. Doing this live is fun because you get to hear me kind of collect my thoughts. Sincerely, gotta wait till all the facts come out, but man has several allegations against him. I want to say one was dealt with, but then I think there was another one. I do not understand why he is back already. That did not feel like enough time to do an internal investigation and make a decision, although I guess if you're going to have Matt Riddle on SmackDown, you're going to have to go with it. Boy, oh boy, this feels icky. Not necessarily just because of Dream, although that's not helping, but because they brought him back so soon. This is not great. Not only because of all the everything, which is the most important thing, but just because he still feels ice cold. Like, the PC performers, as our crowd, gave the proper reaction, but I think if this had been in front of a live crowd, this wouldn't have gotten the reception that they think it would have. And so it seems clear at this point that Velveteen Dream is going to win, but boy, oh boy, no thanks right now, man. I don't know, just from the kind of person that he might end up being, and I mean, justice system is innocent until proven guilty, but just the allegations make me very uncomfortable as a wrestling fan because I have an inability to separate art from artist. So it's actually hard for me to enjoy this match. I mean, that's, I guess, technically speaking, they did not lie. It was a surprise mystery opponent. I am surprised. I would say not necessarily in a good way, but, you know, I'm certainly surprised. Boy, oh boy, this feels like a weird choice, man. The only thing I can hope is that WWE knows something that we don't, but I don't know how much inherent trust I have in the WWE, and I apologize for making it all about this, but legitimately I did not know this was going to happen, and I'm trying to pick my words very carefully as we go to a commercial break, and Dream and Grimes are attacking each other outside of the ring. I do not see Kushida, which means he's going to jump in from somewhere pretty soon. I mean, I do believe the winner goes on to the ladder match. I think Kushida would be the most stylistically interesting. We've already seen Velveteen Dream in an NXT North American title ladder match. Yeah, there's Kushida on the top rope, front flipping, taking out Velveteen Dream. I just think Kushida can add high flying and technical really well, which I think would work in that match really well. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, you could make a case for any of the three, although for different reasons, I don't know that you would make that case. But I think Kushida has kind of been underutilized since coming to NXT. He's had his moments, and he did well in the tournament, certainly, but feels underutilized, and so maybe this is a chance. He's got him in the arm bar, but he's about to get elbow dropped. There it is. Oh, nope, caught Velveteen Dream too. Oh, Velveteen Dream's trying to get out, and he's got him in a modified arm lock. I apologize, I don't know the technical terminology. I maybe should have taken time to do that, but that's okay. Dream rolls him over and picks him up from basically a sitting position into a fireman carry, which is a physically impressive maneuver. Well, he's got the hoverboard lock on, and then from that position, Cameron Grimes hits the double foot stomp that never looks good and didn't this time. Oh boy, Cameron Grimes won. I think I was supposed to be upset, but I feel nothing except except not interested. Again, man, I appreciate the work that these men and women do in the ring, and I think Cameron Grimes may be a great guy outside the ring, and he's a very talented wrestler. But when Cameron Grimes steals a victory, I don't feel mad, I don't feel cheated, I feel bored. And now, just objectively, I think having Kushida in that match makes it a better match than having Cameron Grimes in that match. Although, I mean, maybe we'll run into a situation where Finn Balor gets in as well, and then we have Finn Balor and Damian Priest, who have been wronged by Cameron Grimes in the past, teaming up on him. So maybe we're going for kind of comedic or kind of different kind of spot there. But for reference purposes, Velveteen Dream just returned and in his debut lost. So that's not what we in the business would call great, and not what you want, certainly. But, you know, what do I know? So Velveteen Dream loses, and he's getting back in the ring to Kushida, takes the shirt off that he was wearing the whole match for some reason. I don't know why. Okay, and while Kushida's down, he slaps him and slaps him again and goes to punch him and punch him and punch him because he's a classy guy. Get it? He's a bad guy. Gets distracted by trying to go after refs because those guys are threats. Punches Kushida, super kicks Kushida. Are we setting... Is this Velveteen Dream Kushida feud we're doing? Because, no, I'm all set. And then Velveteen Dream with his not-great haircut and not-great goatee he's got are posing. So I guess we're starting Velveteen Dream Kushida, which, again, no thank you. But okay, maybe this is going to be a takeover match. I don't know. I don't care at all. So okay. Oh, as he turns around, Finn Balor's in the ring. And they're having a stare down. Oh, so Finn Balor and Dream are going to face off in the final second chance match since Dream was not pinned. That means he gets a chance to go against Finn Balor. Boy, oh boy, that's next week. Hope Finn Balor wins that. I feel like we have a much less interesting ladder match than we did potentially a few weeks ago, and that's not because of Cameron Grimes alone. That's just because Dexter Lumis was hurt and Swerve isn't in it, although I think he should be. But hopefully we get Finn Balor in that match, and then we have a Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, we have Cameron Grimes, we'll have maybe Finn Balor. And I'm quite certain that I am forgetting somebody, and I apologize, but we'll see. Man, that, oh, it's Ridge Holland is going to be in the other match, right? Against Finn Balor, I think. So I may have just gotten that confused, but I would like to see Ridge Holland in that, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's the end of the show, guys. That was an interesting show. Certainly didn't make me as upset as last week. Don't love that Velveteen Dream thing. Don't know if you remember from a second ago, but I guess we'll see where this goes. It's shaping up to be interesting takeover, I'm going to say, trying to be positive. Just because a lot of the feuds aren't doing it for me as of right now, but we have time to build them, so I'm not super concerned, but that's okay. But with NXT being over, that means my time is about up. For the final time, you can find me on Twitter. I am ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. Let me know if you like this new format. It was a lot of fun for me to do. Got to kind of just look at what was happening in the ring. Let me know if you want to see me do this for maybe other pay-per-views, maybe your favorite show, and we can kind of keep going with this kind of format if it works out well. But for that, we'll have to sign off. With NXT being over, that means my time is up as well. So I will see you here next week, front and center, same bat time, same bat channel, except it's not bats, it's wrestling. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.